Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Last month, there was a small article on the back page of the New York Times about a Kenyan teacher named Peter Tabichi. He won a $1 million prize that honors an exceptional educator from around the world. And finalists this year included teachers from the Bronx and from Columbus, Georgia, and from Desert Hot Springs, California. Mr. Tabichi, a science teacher in a remote part of Kenya, won the prize because in a school that has poorly equipped classrooms and only one computer with intermittent internet access, he is credited with helping many poor students stay in school, qualify for international science and engineering competitions, and go on to college. In his acceptance speech in Dubai, Mr. Tabachi said that his mother had died when he was 11, and that his father, a primary school teacher, had raised him and his siblings alone. And then he went on to thank his father for raising him with Christian values. And he invited his father up on stage, and he gave his father the big silver cup to hold as the room erupted into applause. The actor Hugh Jackman hosted the awards, and the Dubai's crown prince presented the awards. But the room erupted in applause for Mr. Tabichi and his father. The whole room got caught up in recognizing a teacher's loving service to his students and a father's loving service to his son. In our gospel tonight, Jesus says, "So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, Mr. Tabichi's story was published in the New York Times because he won $1 million. But we who are gathered here tonight, we who have also been raised with Christian values, we know that Mr. Tabichi is blessed by his father and that Mr. Tabichi's students are blessed by him, even if that prize money had never been won. Exceptional life-changing service was happening in that school every day, with or without $1 million. An exceptional life-changing love was unfolding in Mr. Tabichi's home, with or without $1 million. That prize money will be life-changing. No doubt many more things will be possible for the teacher and for his students. But the real glory, the real grace, was already there. And it came daily in the interactions between teacher and students, in the exchanges between father and son. Mr. Tabichi already knows what Jesus wants to teach us tonight. He knows that serving is a great challenge, but also a great privilege. And he recognizes the importance of mutuality, mutual dependence. If we only serve, we may lose ourselves. And if we only receive, we will become arrogant. But being able to both be the one who serves and the one who receives opens us up to the rhythms of a soulful life. Jesus wants Peter and his other disciples to engage one another by actually tending and serving each other. And mutuality and respect and healing get wrapped up into the towel that Jesus wraps around his waist. In Jesus' eyes, everyone is equal. No one is better than anyone else. That is what Jesus wants to demonstrate to his disciples. But of course, then there's Peter. Peter, who always wants to make it more complicated than it has to be. Peter, who wants to be the most important disciple. Peter, the one who yearns for special attention. And in the gospel tonight, Peter wants to be anointed by Jesus, because in the ancient world, teachers formed a bond with their students by anointing them. Anointing was a badge of honor between a teacher and his students. In the ancient world, as we know, only slaves washed people's feet, cleaning off the dirt and the grime of dusty roads. So when Jesus wants to wash Peter's feet, Peter gets offended for Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus debasing himself to act like a slave, taking up a towel in the basin. But Jesus gets annoyed with Peter for still being fascinated by status and public admiration. Jesus doesn't want any of his disciples to waste time trying to figure out which human is best or which human is the most admired. Jesus knows that that does not matter. Jesus knows abundant life comes from service, and that is what he wants his disciples to do. And Jesus is running out of time. He needs Peter to reach down and participate in a deeper level of mutuality and maturity. He needs Peter to be ready to serve and be served, both. And Jesus wants this new relationship of mutuality with Peter so badly that he threatens to cut Peter off if Peter won't let Jesus wash his feet. Jesus says to Peter in our gospel, "Unless I wash you, you have no share of me." Those are harsh words for a Lord and Savior. "Unless I wash you, you have no share of me." No more observing without plunging into the work and becoming an actual participant. No more lurking. No more dainty anointing. No posing, no going through the motions, but only being half-hearted about serving or half-hearted about being served. I hear Jesus saying, "Take what people want to give, not just what you want to receive. Do what people need, not just what you want to give." We hear Jesus telling Peter, in the words about foot washing, that serving is the purest and most honest way to give love. And we hear Jesus telling Peter, in the words about foot washing, that being served is the most honest way to receive love. Later, when Jesus is gone, we'll come to recognize him in the breaking of bread and in the sharing of wine. But on this night, when Jesus is with his disciples, he tells them to wash each other's feet. Over the passing millennial, the thousands of years that have gone by since that first Last Supper, we've come to remember Jesus' last night with his disciples as a night of loving actions on Jesus' part. But Jesus' actions are also outrageous, unexpected, insistent, even argumentative. Jesus will cajole and shock and argue and demand to capture his disciples' attention. He wants them to practice loving service. And we are proof that his disciples have been practicing for generations. So it feels awkward, and we feel shy, and it seems like a small, grimy action. Foot washing is nothing like that shining silver chalice full of wine that we exchange during communion. It isn't respectable like that. But it's clearly important to Jesus that we do it. So, in the name of our Lord and Savior, I invite you to slip off a shoe or two, to unlace your sneaker, to pull off a sock, and have your feet washed. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, I invite you to kneel with a towel and a basin and wash and dry the feet of your neighbor. Jesus said, "Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."